Hi there. You're listening to the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse, and I'm your hostess, Heather Wayman. Hi, everybody. It's Heather Wayman, and I'm the director at Belly Dance Geek, and I want to welcome you to episode 72 of the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse. This episode is sponsored by the Belly Dance Bundle. The 2019 Bundle is a collection of fantastic dance products contributed by 22 dancers from around the world, and Nadira's Rock the Routine course is also included. The Bundle is geared toward helping you figure out what to practice. It's all online and at your own pace, but with community and accountability built in. And it's on sale right now for only two more days. Through October 23rd, 2019, and you can check out all of the contributors at bellydancegeek.com/bundle. And if you've got a product, service, or event that you'd like to promote, we'd love to have you become a Clubhouse sponsor. It helps us cover the cost of producing the show, and it helps you to reach over 1,500 enthusiastic and engaged belly dance geeks. You can find information about sponsoring the Clubhouse at bellydancegeek.com/sponsor. And finally, the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse is a place where dancers can get together and geek out on all those things that are hard to get in classes and on DVDs. If you want help with the what, things like moves, combos, and choreography, there are a lot of resources out there for you. But if you need help with the why and the how, things like musicality, culture, business, and composition, that can be a lot harder to find. So every month we interview a different guest expert on a different geeky topic, and we always have time for questions and answers so you can geek out too. So if you think that knowledge and creativity go together like chocolate and peanut butter, or in my opinion, red wine and chocolate, you are in the right spot. My guest today is Sadia of Texas. She is an internationally recognized artist, belly dance artist from Dallas, Texas. Sadia is a full-time professional belly dancer who has been involved with belly dance since 1996. Her solo and troupe performances have won more than 20 awards in national and international belly dance competitions, including season 2 of Project Belly Dance. Sadia's high-energy style of belly dance is dominated by the jazzy American cabaret style with a heavy influence of classic and modern Egyptian rock sharky. She's a popular performer in the Dallas-Fort Worth area of Texas and beyond, and she regularly teaches ongoing group belly dance classes, private lessons, and workshops, as well as online classes. Welcome, Sadia. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Heather. Thanks for inviting me. Absolutely. I really appreciate the invitation.
I'm so glad you could join us. So I always get started with everybody asking the same question, and that is, tell us your origin story. How did you get started with belly dance?
Well, when I was about 14 years old, I went to this Renaissance festival with my parents, and I saw a belly dance show there, and there's this lady with this flaming red hair who's performing, and there's this live music with the drums, and I mainly remember her and then the music, the drums, and it's just having this major impact on me, and I just felt like this connection to this kind of dance, because I danced a lot growing up, but it was kind of, you know, here and there. Anyway, so I knew I was attracted to that, but I didn't really know exactly anything about it. I didn't even know where this belly dancing was from. A couple years went by, and then I went to a Greek restaurant when I was about 16, and then we saw a belly dancer there, and I don't know who this belly dancer was, but this was a Greek restaurant in Dallas, and I was very intrigued once again, and actually, you know what, I think it was Mia Bella of Fort Worth, Texas, This was at, it was at the old Goldfinger restaurant.
Oh, okay, it's not there.
This is a restaurant that was over there near where Stratos is in the kind of Bachman Lake area. So I remember I asked her about belly dance lessons, and she was teaching out of the restaurant there in Dallas during weekday evenings. But, you know, I'm 16. I had my driver's license, but my parents weren't too keen on me driving all the way over there. And so I didn't do it. And just kind of as a coincidence, I guess, maybe a few months later, we saw a article in a local newspaper saying that there is a belly dance studio opening up nearby. And this happened to be Isis Star Dancer Studio in Bedford, which is the neighboring city to where I grew up in Colleyville. And I begged my parents to be able to join, and I ended up being I joined maybe a month late to this beginner class, but I ended up being the first, I guess, graduating class of her brand new studio. I mean, she had taught before that at various places. This is Isis, by the way. So then I started when I was 16 there, and being young and just being in school, I had a lot of time, so I was able to really study and put everything into it, and I took lots of workshops, studied lots of DVDs. I ended up performing, performing professionally. I think I was maybe 19 when I started at Biblos in Fort Worth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Same place it is now.
Yes, exactly. And so that's kind of the origin story of it all.
And the rest is history. And we're going to talk about some of that today.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Now, for everybody that might not be familiar, City and I used to live in a similar in the area that she lives in. So I know about these restaurants that she's talking about and Isis Studios and all that. And it's like,
Yeah.
this is like old home week for me with you.
Yes.
It's kind of cool. Anyway, okay. Well, the topic today is how you balance your belly dance career with motherhood. And I'm sure that I know there's a ton of other people out there that are going through the same kind of challenges that you are. We just heard about somebody on with us that has, I hope this is okay to say, I won't say a name, but 3-year-old twins, which is just phenomenal. So I can only imagine how much busier having two is at the same time than having one. I
Yeah.
remember that. I had 5 kids altogether between my husband and I, and they weren't all little when I started dancing. But anyway, I want you to tell us give us an overview and a contrast in your career before motherhood as opposed to after motherhood, and how it changed. How was it before? Start there. Started dancing
Well,
when you were
number one
five.
thing would be the amount of time that you have for sure. Because your priorities shift whenever you start a family, and everything you do is for your children. And just the amount of time that you have, it's just you have to be able to kind of work in bursts and just like squeeze little things in here and there as best as you can. Maybe get up a little bit earlier or stay up a little bit late. Just find ways to get it done. And I mean, it's hard. And the truth is that not as much has gotten done as, I make a to-do list for the day, and then it ends up being the week's to-do list because I just can't get it all done one day. But that's okay. I just have to reset a lot and focus on what the priorities are and think. Have you think, well, having small children, there's this precious time and they're only going to be this young for so long. I mean, it just seems like she was born yesterday. I know that sounds kind of
Yeah,
cliche, people say that
we
all the time, but
understand.
it's true. I mean, it's so true. It's like the way that time moves is so strange when you have kids. Anyway, so yeah, you just have to kind of remember what your priorities are, but make the other things happen. Because I mean, especially if you depend on belly dancing as your work, as your job, you have to do even more to make sure things happen. Because you have other people like students and people who hire you for performances that are depending on you as well. So.
Yeah. Okay, so you make up your to-do list, and you said that it used to be a daily to-do list, right?
Yeah.
And you used to be able to get most of that list done.
Probably,
Yes.
yeah, more so than now. Now it's like what I write for one day is all maybe a week I can get it all done.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess you've probably had to kind of take a step back. And forgive me if I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm just imagining what it must be like, because I did not have young children as a dancer. Maybe you have to ratchet back. And when you wanted to do, come up with this workshop and do these three class series and, all this other things, do you find that you can do less now, so you have to prioritize what you're planning?
Yes. But one thing that does help me is that because I've been teaching for, gosh, about 20 years now,
Yeah.
and I have so much material. And I want to keep things relevant and update it accordingly. But then there's that other aspect of maybe something's old enough, it comes around and it's new again. But I mean, like I said, I have so much material, and I've typed up notes for my workshops all these years, and I have it all on my computer. And so I have these topics that I'll take polls online and see what interests people, based on what I already have developed. So I don't have to spend that extra time that I don't have right now trying to come up with new stuff. I just try to fall back on stuff that I already have developed that's still of value, and I try to be more efficient by doing things like that
That is
when it comes to planning.
excellent. Yeah. Okay.
But to expand on that a little bit, I mean,
Yeah, please do.
there have been several cases of running out of time to prepare for something exactly the way that I wanted it. And so there's this level of improvisation, maybe, like in some teaching situations. But I feel a little ashamed of that, because I put all this pressure on myself to really be super prepared. Because, when I write out a class or a workshop description, I want to make sure that what I'm giving to the students matches that, because that's what they signed up for, that's what they paid for. And so that's really important to me, to make sure that I deliver that, which I still make sure that I do, and I'm improvising if I've run out of time. But the funny thing is that a lot of times, whenever I've kind of improvised and I haven't been able to plan out every single detail, a lot of times my classes are better in those situations. I don't know why that is. Maybe, I don't know, but anyway, that's just kind of an interesting fact. So I guess the moral of that story is, we don't always have to put quite so much pressure on ourselves, because if you have things in your background already planned, you have all these years of teaching and performing that you can just pull from, and you can still share something of value, even if you don't have something planned out in detail. And that also goes for performing as well, I think. If you are an experienced performer, you don't always have to have a new costume or always have a new solo. The old is gold, and you can still share something. It's the way you do it that's important, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You said some really cool things there. It made me think of Nadira Jamal taught me years ago, and it has to do with the 70% rule. We do put a lot of pressure on ourselves, especially I'm a perfectionist, and I will just beat something to death because it's not ready and it's not perfect. And she told me, I'm going to paraphrase, it's better to get your 70% effort out there and have it out there than to try to get it 100%, which is not going to happen, and not get it out there.
Yeah, it's
You know?
true. I hadn't thought about it like that. I'm the same way like you.
Yeah. And then as far as having something be better when I understand what you're saying about not feeling like you're 100% prepared, because I hate that too. It's just, I feel like I'm flying by the seat of my pants, and I don't like that feeling at all. But sometimes it does come out better when we improvise a little bit, because I think when we plan things to a T, we get stuck in a rut, and we get stuck in that little train track, and we don't deviate from it. And so if we are improvising just a little bit, then we're able to, or we have to pull things from other places in our mind and experience that we might not have done that. And that's where that comes out from, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So yay for better classes sometimes when you're not quite there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we definitely put too much pressure on ourselves.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that too. I that was in one of my notes. Okay. So how old is your child now?
She'll be 3 and a half next month.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it does seem like yesterday. So how much time did you take off after she was born?
Well, let's see. She was born.
Gig. You know,
yes, or whatever. Yes. She was born in May, and I was performing at the, no, I did not perform the Austin Belly Dance Convention, because I still have like a infected, I'm sorry, y'all, for infected oozing a C-section scar,
oh,
but I taught in 10 hours of classes 6 weeks after she was born. And then, let's see, I think my first performance was at Yahala Y'all that July. But then going back to, like, regular paid gigs, restaurants, and parties was in September. But honestly, looking back, I think that was just too soon. Yeah. I just look back and I think, well, I think maybe I was kind of, I had my identity wrapped up a lot in being this belly dance performer. And I think maybe I was suffering from FOMO, you know, like fear of missing out. So I just felt pressure on myself to like jump back into it because I was going to lose out. But I mean, the truth is that I think that was kind of misguided. You know, you can come back into it. Whenever, maybe it's kind of slow start to get back into things, but you can. And that is something I have heard other, you know, to-be and current moms have asked me. They have been concerned about, you know, whenever you kind of lose that momentum of whether it's workshops, teaching, performance gigs especially, just worried about not being able to restart it. And I don't think that that's the case. I think that with my teaching, I worked really hard at advertising, maybe to the point where it's been annoying with some people, but oh well. I have to be the one that has to do it. Nobody's going to do it for me. But I've really gotten that going good, and have a really nice group of ladies that attend my classes. And but then with the performing, I still, that's kind of been hit and miss. I mean, more so on my account, because I've put all this pressure on myself about, you know, I haven't had time to make new costumes, and I haven't had time to really get my body fit the way that I want it to be for performing professionally in gigs. But this, you know, maybe I just got through saying, you know, 5 minutes ago, that always having a new costume isn't necessarily important, but I think it kind of depends with restaurant and party gigs. Maybe, I mean, the truth be said, it probably is a little bit more important for that particular situation for you to kind of be on top of things, because you have competition with other dancers, healthy competition, and you just have to, I see a question right here. I'm not used to this. I think she asked, Dawn asked something about costuming. Can you see that on your computer screen, Heather?
She says, did you find you needed new costumes for your post-baby body?
Okay, so this is a good question. Yes. And see, I was still nursing when I went back to performing. And I mean, I nursed until my daughter was 13 months. So yeah, I mean, my boobs are big anyway. Like, and then with them being full of milk, oh my gosh. Let's just say I only wore about one or two costumes there for a while, but people didn't really seem to mind. but then the strange thing is that like the belts, like my hips had gotten smaller. So my hips had gotten smaller, and yeah, like my pelvis was smaller this way. So my belts were coming off of me.
Wait,
it's so strange.
Smaller from hip to hip or smaller from front to back?
Well, I'm not sure. I just know that my belts were smaller. So I guess
something's changed.
It's hard to know.
That's
you know, one thing that's been hard to get rid of is my tummy. And then, you know, after you have a baby, it's stretched out. And I mean, in terms of your skin and everything going back to normal, 3 years is not really that long. It just takes time. I've seen other women do it. So it can be done. But yeah, I mean, I definitely had to change my costume. I feel like I've had to play up things that were, you know, like I feel like my legs look pretty nice. They're toned. So I made my slit a little bit higher, covered up my belly a little bit more, and certain things like that. But yeah, I definitely had to have some changes in my costuming. But I feel like as I get my body where I want it to be, then my costuming can go back to the way that it was. But yeah, it's just something you just, no matter what your body type is, or if you have or have not had kids, it just always the goal is to just wear things that look flattering and make adjustments for us to look good and flattering. And
yeah, accentuate the things we
yeah,
like. And
exactly.
What's the word? I don't like camouflage, but accentuate the things we like and not necessarily accentuate the things that we don't like, or just, you know, just everybody's got their own thing that they that they don't like, and they are more, we're harder on ourselves than anyone else is on
that's us. True. I think Dawn just said direct the eye to the best features.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right on. Well, so tell me what process you followed to get yourself back into the game. How did you start back in the teaching game and the party gig and the restaurant game? I mean, obviously your restaurant gigs knew you were having a baby.
Yes, and actually I performed at restaurants till I was 5 months pregnant. But the places where I danced, you know, they kind of treated me like family, and they didn't really mind. And then I just kind of got to a point where I was like, oh, my costumes don't really fit anymore. so done with that for now. But getting back into the professional performances, you know, I only took about a 3 or 4 month break. So, people didn't have enough time to forget about me, so I was able to come back and that'd be okay. And I still had a base of people that were hiring me for parties, so that was still right. It also, you know, you had to keep announcing on Facebook, you know, that you're a performer and you're available for gigs and things, because sometimes people do take longer breaks, and so your audience, people who hire you for those gigs, might think that you're not ready, so they're going to go find somebody else. But if they know that you are available, then you should put that out there. So that's going to be different for everybody, but you definitely have to put it out there that, hey, I'm starting at performances again, and just try to get back on the schedules and things like that. And then it'll start, you know, rolling like it did before.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, in regards to the performances, I'm kind of back on more of a break. I mean, I'm, you know, doing it every now and then, but I am hoping to get back into that, like I said, as I get a little bit more fit and get my costume closet built back up. So to get the classes built up, kind of the same thing. Like, you just have to put it out there. You have to find your target audience, and it was kind of a slow start, because a lot of the students, I know I did teach classes up until about when I was 8 months pregnant. But then if, you know, you take like that last month or month and a half plus the 3 or 4 that I was off, I mean, that's almost half a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of students, they went and they found other teachers because they just wanted to keep taking classes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a little bit of a slow start because, if students were involved in something else, like a troupe, a performance group, or in the middle of taking a class session, and if they wanted to come back to me, or if they wanted to take my classes at the same time as the current teacher they had been with, then they had to kind of wait for those things to settle down before they could kind of come back to me. So there was a little bit of having to build it back up with that as well. But I mean, I think that that's okay, because to try to jump back into everything with an infant right there and have it all come back, you know, full-fledged would have been too much. Yeah. So I think while I was building myself back up to be able to have a new normal, it was okay that these things were slow to come again too, because it was just like baby steps to get back into it.
Right on. And you said, I remember you said already that you felt like it might have been a little bit too early. So everything happens in its own time and season.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of no matter whether we want it to or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So did you, I wanted to ask you, did you ever feel like, oh my God, this, do I really want to do this?
Do I want to? Yes. Well, I mean, pretty soon after she was born, I don't know if it was hormones or what, but I just felt like I just wanted to abandon everything and just like have a whole bunch of babies and and just forget belly dancing. I think it probably was hormones. Looking back, I'm like, no. mainly because that's just too much for me. But yes, there was a time where I'm not really sure if it's okay. Well, here it is.
Okay.
I had some guilt, I think, about spending too much time on dance, coming back into it, and not spending enough time with my baby. Now, I spent enough time with her. I was like glued to her. My mom kept saying, "It's not healthy. You need to be able to like, do your own stuff." So there was no danger of me not spending enough time with my baby. But it just took. Even now, I mean, I know you have to set an example and show that you're a person, a whole person who has a life too, and you have these hobbies and interests, and I know all that, I get it, but it's just, it was hard to be able to take that time for myself, because there was so much guilt wrapped up in it. I don't know if anybody else felt that way, but...
Girl, motherhood is the middle name of between mother and hood is guilt.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Don't, you're totally normal.
Okay. I did always. Okay.
Yeah. But not that I'm an expert. I've had, some experience, but it sounds like you're doing the right things to me.
All right.
Keep on doing what you're doing. Okay. So you talked about, we talked a little bit about prioritization and efficiencies and multitasking and time management and all that kind of stuff. What does your typical day look like? Let's say, I don't want to take a particular day. I know that you have gigs on certain days of the week and you teach on other days of the week. How do you prioritize and fill in those slots on your day to make these things happen now that you have a child?
Yes. So, I mean, let's see. What about the baby's father? Why doesn't he get more involved?
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he is. He's very involved. I mean, I guess I'm more of a stay-at-home mom in the sense that, I work from home, because I have my dance studio here out of our home, so that makes things easier. My husband, I mean, he works 5 days a week out of the home. What was the question before that, though? I'm sorry, I lost my focus.
No, it's okay.
Oh, priority. How to get things done, prioritizing.
How you fit all these things into your day.
So, first, I mean, my daughter's routine or schedule is kind of the number one. And so I fill in everything around that. And I just have to decide, you know, based on what's coming up on my calendar, you know, do I have new classes starting? Do I have a performance coming up on the weekend? What do I need to do for these things that are closest to me, you know, on the calendar to be prepared for them? And so then I'll make a to-do list for the things that need to get done for those projects or those events. And then there's daily things that have to happen every single day, you know, like taking care of yourself, working out, eating right, cleaning up the house, even if it's just a little bit, just to get a couple things done here and there. And like I said, it's very rare that I end up getting everything done on my to-do list, but it's just the way it is. It's okay. And so, yeah, I just have to figure out what has to happen every single day, you know, my daughter's schedule, and then what I have to get done for myself. And then I move to what things do I have coming up on the calendar? What do I need to get done to work towards that? So all that is prepared. And then I can look out a little bit further, and then I can say, okay, are there any kind of projects that are further off that maybe I need to just do like a little bit of something on it? Do I have time to even spend 15 minutes on this or this? So that's kind of how I prioritize it.
And everything gets done in spurts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That happens for me now, even though I don't have kids at home anymore. It's like the phone rings or my husband will call or, you know, this thing will have to get done. And it just, God.
Yes.
Just get a 2-hour time block without any interruptions.
Yes. Yes. That's almost impossible.
It is elusive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So we talked about this a little bit. We touched on it a little bit earlier about your having experienced FOMO, fear of missing out. I think that's completely legitimate to feel that way. But did it really happen?
You mean that I missed out?
Yeah. I mean.
No, I don't think so.
No. Answer, no.
I mean, truthfully, my performance section of my, you know, work,
right,
has not gotten back to the way that it was. But I think that's a lot of it's me, because I've been like holding back and I haven't been going after things and trying to get in the door in places because I haven't felt like I'm quite ready in regards to, you know, like I said, my fitness level and then my costume closet built back up. Because even now that, to go back to Dawn's question about the costuming changing, you know, now that I'm, you know, 3.5 years out, but your body is permanently different. So anybody that's had a kid, there's just things that are different. I mean, my belts are still too big. I mean, that's the easy fix, right? But still, just costumes that don't have a separate belt, they have the decoration built into it. I mean, that's more difficult to fix. And then see, I oh yes, I make most of my costumes, because I mean, the truth is, when I've tried to buy them, especially having a large bust and like a small rib cage, it's just almost impossible to find things that are going to fit right. And I just like having costumes that look different from other people as well. But then I have not had the time to work on them, which it took a lot of time anyway, even before I had a baby. But yeah, that kind of thing that takes up a lot of time. So did I answer your question? I think I went off on a tangent.
No, yeah, you did. You didn't feel like you'd be left behind.
No, I don't think so. I think that I made the decision to kind of hold back. And I still, you know, while I'm still young, I would still like to be able to get back into that. But I mean, honestly, it may not happen until my daughter is in starts elementary school in a year and a half. Oh, you want to think about it? Like, you think, oh, you're going to get all this free time when your child starts school on a regular basis, but then you're going to be so sad. And you're like, I don't care about the free time. I just want her to be here. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard.
You will be sad at first, but then it'll be like, oh, hey, wait a minute. You'll start looking around like, okay. And,
yeah.
But then there's also volunteering at school and in the classroom and stuff like that. If you start doing stuff like that, there'll be some time involved. But,
yes.
You know, it's like I said before, it's a season. Everything is a season. Nothing ever stays the same. And that's good, you know?
Yeah.
If it stayed the same, we'd all just die of boredom.
Yeah.
Anyway. So how do you, I know we talked a little bit about this also, we're just kind of, you know, rolling along here, about negative self-talk and stress. We put a lot of stress on ourselves. I know you do too. How do you deal with your negative self-talk and your stress?
Well, to me, the hardest thing is to be able to catch yourself doing it. Because sometimes it just kind of starts in the background and then it starts to kind of snowball. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, why am I beating myself up? If somebody else was doing this to me, I would be like, hit the radio, Jack, you know? So why is it acceptable to talk about this to myself? So yeah. I think having kind of identify that, oh my gosh, your self-talk is terrible. And then I honestly have this thought. I tell myself or ask myself, what would I say to a friend that was experiencing these same, you know, anxieties or stresses or negative talk? What would I tell them? What kind of advice would I give them? And then I sit there and I think about it and I think, well, that's what I'm going to tell myself. I'm going to be a little bit easier on myself. And that usually kind of like softens it a little bit. And then I can kind of reset and start to reprioritize and focus on things that I need and want to get done and focus on just priorities in life. You know, not everything's about getting everything done on your to-do list, obviously. But yeah, I think I just, you know, having to identify it first and then asking myself, what would I tell a friend? And then just kind of treating yourself like a friend rather than like somebody you're going to beat up.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but I think that's a very healthy approach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you knew then what you know now, what would you do differently from the start?
If when you say then, what do you mean?
Before baby.
Okay.
BB, before baby.
Yes. I'm trying to think.
It sounds like you got a really good handle on things here, but.
Oh, well, thank you.
Maybe there's something that if you look back and think, oh, you know, if I hindsight's always 20/20, right?
That's true. Well, that's kind of a deep question. That's a lot to think about. Well, I think nobody can tell you what, how different life is after you've had a kid or kids, because I mean it's totally different. So
they can tell you, but it just won't mean as much until you experience it.
Yes, exactly. And I think the main thing is to have just been able to not have that, you know, fear of missing out and not even worry about that. Like after she was born, I should have just not even had dance kind of on the table. I just needed to like push it back and focus more on this time rather than worrying about trying to get back into things so quickly. I mean, there was good and bad. I think that the good is that it kind of helped me get back on a more normal schedule, especially with having a little one come into your life. You're having to reschedule everything. And you know, like I said earlier, one of my friends had told me this, that you needed to have a new normal and you had to figure out what that is. And so I think I didn't really anticipate what to expect. And so if I had just allowed myself to be more open about it, about what kind of stresses and changes there were going to be, and just roll with it, that's what I would have told myself, is like, okay, something big is coming. I mean, obviously there's something big coming, but it's more than what you think. You know, it's way more than what you think, like total life change. And so if I had just been a little bit more relaxed about it and just gone with the flow, that's what I would have told myself.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Well,
how old were your kids whenever you started?
Oh, gosh. I didn't start until 2007. And so my oldest was in high school. She was a senior in high school. So she was, you know, already doing her own thing. And the youngest, who was there, this was in Japan, he was there with us, and he was like six.
Oh, that's pretty young. Yeah.
But we were living on a military base, so... The kids go out and play, they do their thing, I go to the USO, teach a class, yada, 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 and I wasn't gigging and doing, you know, all the stuff that you're doing. That was kind of early on for me. I didn't start doing that kind of stuff until I got where you are, and that was about 2010, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they were older.
Okay.
You have to go through the young.
It makes it a little bit easier for them to be older.
Sometimes, yeah, but and then you get high school sports and stuff like that too, and that's like, oh my God, this is very time consuming also. So it's, you know,
yeah.
Stages. What else can you tell us? What else do you want to share? This is a valuable subject, but it seems like we've done it all.
Well, I'm not sure. We have talked about everything.
We've covered a lot of ground.
I know. I don't know. Let me think for a second.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Anything comes to mind.
Yeah.
I don't want to put stress on you and make you have negative self-talk.
No.
Well, how are your classes going? I'll ask you this. How can people learn more from you?
Well, you know, I teach the local classes in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And teach ongoing classes, private lessons, and workshops there. And before I got pregnant, I was kind of developing a momentum to be teaching workshops and traveling around. And, you know, whenever you start planning a family and all that happens, and kind of been taking a break from that. But I would like to get that rolling again. I have a lot of experience teaching, and I have a ton of different kinds of topics that are that I offer. And so, yeah, as far as people who are not near me who would like to learn from me, you know, but before a workshop, bring me out, and we can get that going. Now, also, actually, while I was pregnant, I was teaching my classes here out of my home studio. Using Powwow, which is defunct now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know what that is, it's this like live streaming online classes. And there are other platforms, but I just haven't been able to find one that is like set up as good as Powwow. But with that said, I am doing research to try to get that going again. So whatever I teach here out of my home studio, I will be streaming live, and you know, you can pay online and take the class long distance. So in addition to that, also like Skype or Zoom long distance classes, I kind of private lessons set up, but like long distance private lessons.
Right.
And then this January, so 17th through 19th, I have my first annual belly dance immersive, and it's going to be held here at my home studio. So I only have 12 spots available, but you get lots of undivided attention that way. It's 22 hours of classes, all different kinds of topics. So there'll be more information about that on my website soon.
And that's going to be in January, you say?
Uh-huh, January 17th through the 19th.
Are you going to possibly record any of that and make it available for sale as a package?
I hadn't thought about that, but that's not a bad idea. Yeah.
I have some ideas for you. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
A little bit once I interrupt you.
Oh, please.
I have some online videos, some like lessons. I have several that are free, like they're short little teaser clips. But then I also have one, it's like a two-part, it's not a physical DVD, but it's like in a DVD format where you can download it. And it's a two-part lesson divided into like technique on one section of it and then the full choreography, and it's called Top Notch Tabla Solo. And so if you want to learn a drum solo choreography, or if you just want to practice technique that's in it and not have to worry about, oh, another choreography to learn, then you could just do that. But that's on my website, and I created that with the help of my husband. I don't know how long ago was that, 5 or 6 years ago now?
That's at thedadance.com, right?
Yes, thank you. Thedadance.com.
Absolutely. And I will make sure that link, we'll put a link to that Tabla Solo package on the episode page.
Okay, thank you.
You are welcome. My pleasure. We are going to get to questions because I'm pretty sure there probably are some. But before we do that, I want to do the lightning round. This is just a fun, silly thing. And it's the first thing that comes to your mind. And if you can't think of anything, just say pass and we'll go to the next one, okay?
Okay.
Okay, these are your favorite things.
Okay.
Sadia's favorite things. What's your favorite book?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. The Never Ending Story. I remember reading the book when I was a little kid and I loved it.
All right. And what's your favorite food?
Mexican food.
Oh, tacos. What's your favorite base color?
What is it?
A base color?
Like just a base color?
Main color.
Oh, probably magenta.
Ooh, okay. So then if you were going to put a splash color on top of that, what would it be?
Oh, sparkly gold.
Yeah. All right. What's your favorite day of the week?
Tuesday.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about that later. Do you have a favorite poet?
No.
Okay, pass.
I'm not real big into poetry. Pass, yeah.
Do you have a favorite composer?
Not really.
Pass again. Okay, if you were going to listen to someone talk, what would your favorite accent be?
Probably British.
Oh. What's your favorite juice?
Orange juice.
Favorite behavior?
Behavior?
Yeah, you know, if somebody's behaving in a certain way, what would be your favorite to see or experience?
I mean, somebody that's lighthearted and funny. Okay. Like comedic.
Do you have a favorite macomb?
I don't. I like them all.
Okay. Do you have a favorite instrument?
Probably any kind of percussion instrument, any kind of drum.
Right on. Because you like the drum solo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I have to ask you about your favorite day of the week. Why Tuesday? What the heck?
Well, is that unusual?
Well, you know, most people say, oh, I love Saturday, but I've heard Tuesday before. But you're the second person to say it, so I'm just curious. Ooh.
Well, I think, you know, you're coming out of the weekend. You've had a busy week, had a busy weekend. And then a lot of times Monday is kind of like, even sometimes Sundays are even crazy and busy. And Mondays you're like, oh, okay, you have to like get back into the week. And then Tuesday you kind of finally have it going, you know, like you got it rolling. And so I think that's wise, because Tuesdays have all this potential.
Oh, I love it. That's great. All right. If people could take one thing away from this call, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a.
You know, especially as a mother or a caregiver of any kind, you know, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to just be a parenting situation.
I mean, I think I just want to remind people, dancers, moms, not to be so hard on themselves. Kind of just bringing back what we talked about earlier. Just if you're ever going to get in that like high stress, putting lots of pressure on yourself, beating yourself up for whatever, like you can't get everything done, you don't like the way you look today, your kid's misbehaving and you're feeling guilty, you know, anything. I would say just ask yourself, if you were your friend, what advice would you give your friend? And just try to be a little bit easier on yourself and enjoy life and go dance.
Yeah. And I would further add to that to remember that if you can't get it all done, ask yourself, is anybody going to die? Because I don't do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the answer is probably no, which means you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Oh, I'd like to open it up to questions. Who has a question? We've got several people on the call here.
Is it okay if I go?
Absolutely.
Ariana, yeah.
Ariana. Hi, Ariana.
Hi, I'm the one with the twins.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had people kind of look at you differently after you had children? Because for me, I feel like a lot of people just saw me as a mother and not so much as Ariana, the dancer, or anything like that. And it felt like I was being treated differently after having kids. Have you ever felt that?
Yes, this is a thing. It's not your imagination.
Okay.
I think that there is an element of after you've gone from, you know, woman without child to motherhood, especially with a lot of cultures that we do work with, there are these like assigned roles, you know. Maybe it's more prominent in a lot of different cultures, more so than ours, but it's there in ours too. And I think that if you are a mom who is, they might see it as like you backtracking to the stage of your life before you were a mom. And so there is like this kind of, what are you trying to be, sexy? A sexy mom? I mean, that's just one example. But yes, I have perceived this too. And it's strange. And I know that a lot of dancers that I know that are moms, they prefer to keep their personal life separate from their dancing and just present their dance persona and that be that. It's, you know, their personal life, their families is nobody's business. They don't put it out there. I guess that's one way of handling it. Another way is to just do what you do and try to do it the best you can and just not worry about it.
So. Yeah. I just thought it was like, just seemed like everybody like, oh, they call me like, hey, mama. And I'm like, you know, I have a name and I'm a
yeah.
person. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's just kind of weird to me. So thank you for answering.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a weird thing. And I understand what you're saying for sure. So I hope I answered that well for you.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Think, have I ever done that? Have I ever said, oh, hey, little mama, or I know when one of our dance colleagues over there, who doesn't dance anymore, but she was having a baby, she referred to the baby before he was born as Peanut. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so. I'm not sure, but I think so.
Yeah. And so I think after her baby was born, people would, you know, say, oh, hey, you know, how's your little Peanut doing? Or hey, mama, how's your Peanut? Or, you know, something like that. I wonder. I never thought of that as something that would be taken I never really thought about how it would be taken. That's interesting that you asked that, Ariana.
Yeah. Maybe it just depends on the person, because if the mom was saying that herself, maybe she didn't mind that. And I don't know, just everybody's different.
Yeah. Yeah, and you never know what someone's going to perceive. Something that you say could be taken completely differently than you expect it to be taken or mean for it to be taken. So anyway.
That's true. That happens all the time.
Yeah, it does. Dawn had a question. She said, can you recommend any tools or phone applications for life and time management?
I'm not really a big app person. I find that they end up taking up more time, being less efficient, but that's me. I'm not like a big techie person. So I like pen and paper and I like notebooks. I have a ton of notebooks. My husband makes fun of me. And like they all have, some of them are designated for the daily to-do list and some of them are for, like projects or, I mean, anyway, it's ridiculous how many notebooks I have.
God, me.
But that's what I do.
Stack of them down there.
Yes. Yeah. Those are my tools. I have my notebooks and that they're for different things. And, I refer back to them. So, if I have a certain kind of, project that I'm working on, I always refer back to it. I mean, I know that sounds kind of, old fashioned, but yeah, that's my tool is pen and paper. And I just try to organize it. And I definitely refer to my notebooks every single day to help get things done. Cause I'll make, like if I'm working on a costume, you know, I'll make a section of the notebook that's for, I'll make a drawing, a design of the costume. I'll write out all the materials that I need. And then I write out, well, what are the steps involved? And then there's like steps in between the steps. And then,
I'm excited about this one.
Yeah. And so that kind of thing. That's what I do. Yeah. No apps for me.
Elizabeth has a question, but before I cut to her, I just wanted to say that, Dawn, that I just recently, in the last maybe 4 to 6 months, started using some calendar thing on my phone. I think it's the one that comes on an iPhone. Yeah, it's the Google Calendar. I can't believe I balked at using that for so many years. It's
really?
Fabulous. Oh, yeah. It took me a while to get used to it, but I like it because I can pull it up on any device and I can see, okay, here's what's going on today. Because I had a paper calendar and sometimes I'd forget to look at it and I'd miss stuff.
Oh.
Because it was somewhere else where I wasn't. Uh-huh. So there's that. And then there's this little app called Habit Share. Nadira found it last year when we were doing one of our courses, and it's an app. It's called Habit Share, and you can get it from the App Store. And it's a way that you can, like, if you need reminders, which the Google Calendar also has on it, you'll probably use it. But you can set up reminders for yourself. Like every Monday, I get a reminder to water my plant, which I did not do today. And every night, there's a reminder that comes up at 9 o'clock. Brush the dog's teeth. Yes, I brush the dog's teeth.
Okay.
Anyway, so there's that. Yeah. What's your question, Elizabeth? Oh, let me get you off of mute. Hold on a second. 1 second.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I
get the impression that the mothers do all the work and the fathers are just sort of second-class little accessories. Why don't they get involved in scheduling with the children and the baby and stuff like that? Especially once the baby's weaned. Why does a mother have to do everything?
Well, I'm not sure. That's not the impression that I meant to give, because I certainly have a husband.
Specifically you, but, you know.
In general.
Yeah. And it's always mommy and mother. Why doesn't if I were had a career and a child or children, I would hopefully want to be able to share the privileges of child rearing with the dad, and let
him
set the schedule and take care of the baby and walk him or her to school and them. You know, why is it always just solely the mother?
Well, I don't know how to answer that for other people, but for me, I mean, as an example, like right now, so I can make this call, My husband has taken my three-year-old daughter to the park. So I feel pretty lucky to have a husband who does participate, and he does things like this and is very supportive. Like I said earlier, I do the classes out of my home studio. And so every Tuesday evening and Thursday evening, I mean, the whole evening, he's with her and, you know, gets her fed, gives her a bath, gets her to sleep. So for me, I feel like I have a nice
situation. That's great. That's great.
Perhaps.
I like to hear that.
Yeah.
I think that's so important. So that should be helpful, you know, in the managing, Okay. Thanks a lot for sharing this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have any other questions? Anything else come to mind?
I don't think so. Thank you, everybody, for your questions. And if you think of anything else, feel free to contact me. And thank you again, Heather, for inviting me to do this. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
I think I've only done an interview like this one time before, a long time ago, so I was a little nervous about it.
We're a casual, fun group.
Yeah, you made it easy and relaxed. So
That's the way we do it at Belly Dance Geek.
Yes.
Well,
but yeah, thank you for providing this for everybody, and it's a pretty neat idea, neat project.
My pleasure. I did not start this. Nadira Jamal started this, and I'm just kind of like trying to keep everything going here, and this is what I do. But I will put a link to the Tabla Solo package on the episode page so people can find that directly. And there's also contact information for Sadia on the episode page also. And I just want to thank everybody for coming, and also want to let you know that this is the end of the call, but the conversation is not over. There's a private Facebook group for the clubhouse, and shortly, probably tomorrow, you'll get an email with an invitation to the group, and there's a little approval delay because I've got to make sure that everybody that's actually trying to get into the group belongs in there. And there'll be a link to the resources from the call, a survey to ask for your feedback, and also a link to the recording, the audio recording of this call. And the next clubhouse call is not scheduled just yet. Hoping to have something in November, so watch your email for information about that. And lastly, this clubhouse is the come on in kind, not the no boys allowed kind. So if you know someone that would be interested, please invite them to join us at bellydancegeek.com/clubhouse. And don't forget about our sponsor, the Belly Dance Bundle. On sale through all of Wednesday, October 23rd. And you can get that at bellydancegeek.com/bundle. Until next time, happy dancing. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse. For more geektacular resources, visit us at bellydancegeek.com.